The monthly jobs report is coming out on Thursday instead of Friday because of Friday's holiday. So just be mindful of that. It's the end of the second quarter for those who follow the financial stuff. And it is time for Jill Schlesinger's halftime report. Jill Schlesinger, CBS News, Jill on Money. Although, can I start off with a request?
You do you, man.
Can you separate myth from reality on the big, beautiful bill, at some point?
What would you like me to do? We want to do it right now?
No, I mean... I mean, if you have answers, I mean,
what's your primary question? Let's do that.
So I think there are a couple of things, because one side says this and the other says, how much is it actually going to add to the debt and the deficit? How much do the wealthy actually, benefit more tax wise? And, those are the essential questions that I think I want to know the actual facts.
Okay. So, first of all, let's take a deep breath. It's still being negotiated, so we don't have a final bill yet. That's why I haven't actually gone into this in depth, because I always feel like, things can change. I think essentially, big picture, that this is a bill that the thrust of it was to make permanent the tax cuts that were enacted under the first Trump administration. In 2017, we had tax cuts that were supposed to actually sunset, meaning they were tax cuts that were put in place, but they were only put in place temporarily. And supposedly, without any congressional action, those tax cuts were set to go back to where they were in 2016, 15, 14. So there would be a big tax increase. Okay, so now Congress acts. That's the biggest part of this bill, which is to extend those tax cuts. The problem for Republicans was that by extending those tax cuts, it was going to add a lot of money to the debt and the deficit. And what we now know is that all of the different parts of this bill that are being contemplated essentially add a lot of debt to the U.S. government's coffers, right? So we now have more debt. And we've talked about debt and deficit in the past, but what you really need to know is that today, this minute, you don't feel that impact, but the impact is usually felt in the future. So it depending on how they end, many of these cuts and many of the changes, even though they've tried to pay for some of those cuts by cutting some stuff in Medicaid, by finding other areas where they could get money, the real bottom line here is that we will have a higher level of debt and deficits for the next 10 years, and probably around $2.5 trillion extra that is being added to the national debt and deficit. So that's kind of where we are. There are so many different provisions, and some of them are going to really hit you if you're like one of those people who like, hey, I don't get, my tips are taxed. I'm a servicer. But if you're someone who works in a retail store and you've been paying your taxes as a W-2 employee, things aren't going to change all that much. So a lot of this is, again, there are a lot of shenanigans in here. So, there's no tax on tips, but only for 3 years. I mean, that's kind of annoying to me. Okay, great. So this all works while you're in office, you current senators and congressmen and the president, but then it's left to someone else to deal with in the future.
Is that because that's the only way they could get it passed, or that's just okay?
It's the only way that you can get the cost down, because if you made that permanent, it would blow another hole through the debt and the deficit.
And just quickly, because I want to ask about some other stuff, this is it really disproportionately benefiting the wealthy?
It is. But that's, I think that,
because everyone gets the cut, right? Everyone gets the tax cut.
Yeah, everybody gets something. It's just that rich people get more. That's really what to think about. And this is an especially tough bill for somebody who is a low-income earner, and it's certainly a tough bill for anyone who's on Medicaid. So I think that there's sort of universal understanding that this, that even the first bill disproportionately helped people at the top of the earning ladder. And, when I say disproportionately, the benefits of this bill that flow to the 1% far exceed anything that you'll get in the middle. But what I've learned talking to people all over the country is that most people don't tend to really focus on that. So, I mean, I can say that, but for many people, they'll be like, well, wait a minute, my child tax credit's going up. Good. I don't think many people will focus on that part. They'll look at their own situation and say, how does this impact me? And for some people, it's going to look good. For other people, it's going to look like it's been for the last few years.
Jill Schlesinger, CBS News, Jill on Money. You go to jillonmoney.com. You can read her blog. We are, you know, at the halfway point of the year. One or two things for people to think about or do?
Well, I think the most important thing is to try not to focus on the things you can't control. I still love the idea of reviewing your spending from the first half of the year. If you don't use an app, just pull up bank statements and credit card bills and maybe just go to your Apple automatic subscription area or your Google Play automatic subscriptions. I just found it humorous that a CNET survey found that the average adult spends more than $1,000 a year on subscriptions. Yeah. I just don't think that many people are using all of those. And keep an eye on some of the fees that are being charged. Those junk fees are not supposed to be getting charged every month, but you know, you really have to keep your guard up because there's essentially no watchdog anymore because the CFPB has been fanged. And, you know, we're here in the Northeast. It is not yet like the heart of hurricane season, so review your insurance before that. I cannot believe it, but if you look at, you know, home insurance, homeowners insurance, renters insurance, up by about 25% in 3 years. It's huge. So shop around a little bit and see if you can get something better.
Just random. What's your favorite sort of spending app for monitoring that stuff?
I'm old school, so I'm agnostic. I think that a lot of the banks actually have really good apps, and it's easier to use, and your information is right there, so I think that's good. You know, there's tons of people who use YNAB, You Need a Budget, because it is a paid app, but it seems to be that when people pay for it, they use it more. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. I've paid for it. Oh, then again, it could be a gym membership. You know, it could go away in 2 seconds.
It's another subscription, by the way.
Yes, exactly.
You have to do.
So, I use a spreadsheet. I'm so old school.
I never really learned Excel that well. My son's trying to learn.
What?
Yeah, I know. I just never.
You're the right gen, no?
I am the worst tech person ever, ever. Okay. Listen, job numbers. What's the expectation, real quick?
115,000 jobs. Rate probably at 4.23-ish. It's going to be an interesting jobs report because no one's going to be paying attention because it's on Thursday, not Friday. But I think we are going to continue seeing a deceleration in the job market. Now, remember, President Trump is immediately going to come out and just lambaste the Federal Reserve if this number is weaker than expected. And if it's stronger than expected, I think that really is sort of underscores why the Fed is waiting.
Yeah,
so we'll have to wait and see ourselves. And, you know, again, these federal workers that have been cut, they're starting to slowly but surely show up on the monthly jobs report.
I thought there was an inflation number last week that gave Powell some cover, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Personal Consumption Expenditure Index. Doesn't that roll off the tip of your tongue?
That's why they call it the PCE. Whatever the acronym is.
Yes.
Jill, have a great holiday. Thank you so much, as always.
Thanks a bunch. Take care.